So you don't think it's true that a pastor is the most important job in the world?
Depending on how you mean it, no, I do not. I think.
Well, is there a way in which you could mean it in which it would be true?
I'm going to say maybe because I haven't thought fully through it yet. But probably not. I said probably.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Will I have an extra star in my crown for being a pastor?
No. Oh. You will have an extra star in your crown for dealing with Nathan and I.
I quit.
You can't quit. You've been called.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
I'll fix it in post-production.
Woo! Sounds fancy.
I'm already recording all this, so we'll just go ahead and go.
You're not going to... Wait, stop. You're not going to put any outtakes at the beginning, are you?
Probably. I have a water.
Yes. Which one?
The wet one. The one that is wettest. Thanks.
You want a wet one? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. All right. Welcome to another Piney Pastors podcast recording time. My name is Nathan Smith. I'm one of the pastors at Piney Ridge Church, and on my left is...
Steve Haupt, also one of the pastors at Piney Ridge Church.
Oh,
and...
wait, four. We had a whole discussion about this
last time. We did. I'm Jason Myers. I'm one of the pastors of Piney Ridge Church.
Oh.
Pious. So... I just, you guys just work at here.
Yeah.
But you are the pastor of this. So you must be the lead pastor. Is that the way it goes?
No, I'm just right now, I'm the leading one.
I'm the senior pastor, and there's no quibbling with that.
You are a senior, Steve.
I call myself the singing pastor.
You did. You have to sing this entire podcast.
But that reminds
podcast.
Me of the farting pastor.
Made me think of the singing nun.
I don't know which is better. Similar.
If you haven't seen The Farting Pastor, you should probably check it out. It's worth
He said probably.
Life. Probably. Anyway, we are all pastors here together at this church called Piney Ridge. Because we are at the building, which we all know is the church, right?
We have derailed before we
begin. We need to have another podcast just on what is the church.
Yeah. We do.
We can do that one.
Because the one we're doing today is not on that. It is actually going to be on what it means to be called by God, how we are called. And we're also going to talk about, and this may end up being one or two podcasts, we'll see, at least one, but maybe two. If we keep rambling, it's definitely going to be.
We might just have to have a podcast of rambling.
Yeah,
and then it's separate one.
So we want to talk about calling, but also within that, how Christians should be thinking about decision making, and this is something that we feel like it's really important to talk about because we are. All as Christians constantly looking to make decisions. We want to make decisions that are honoring to God. We know that there are people in our congregation right now who are making pretty big or trying to make pretty major life decision choices, and we want to get some guidance in that. And we often hear, not just in our church, but we ourselves have used the language of, and it's in the broader evangelical culture a lot, this language of, I felt like the Lord called me to do this, or I sensed that this was where God wanted me to go, or just felt like this was the right decision to make. And
I feel led to our, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And so we wanted to examine that language, but more than that, more than examining that in light of Scripture, also hopefully give some helpful principles for decision making and just what we should be looking to do as we try to make major decisions and small ones. Let's maybe start with that idea of feeling called to do something, or having a sense that this is where the Holy Spirit is leading. First of all, that sounds very, very spiritual, very Christian-like to say that, you know, the Holy Spirit led me to do this or that.
Sounds holy.
It does. It does. And we hear that language a lot. It's just common in Christian jargon. So, yeah. So let's talk first about just biblical evidence for using that kind of language. Is that something that Scripture would lead us to talk like that? Or is that something that's just kind of crept into common usage? And maybe talk about some of the passages that might lead people to think, yeah, this is a way that we should think and talk. So what are some of the passages that, maybe that'd be a good way to frame it up. What are some of the passages that probably come to mind for people when they think about the Spirit leading?
Well, we were talking earlier today about a couple of places in Acts where Paul, one place that pops into my mind is, tell me where it is, Jason.
Acts 13:2 and 16:10.
And which one is the Macedonia guy?
16:10.
So Paul was heading one way, and he had a vision. He had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over here, we need help. Mm-hmm. And so he interpreted that as, and knew that that was God calling him to go to Macedonia, leading him to go to Macedonia. So that would be one place in Scripture where people might come to the conclusion that if I am trying to make a decision about where to go, I need to pray, and maybe I'll get a vision, or maybe I'll get some kind of a feeling that I'm being called or led to this place.
Well, in Acts 16:6, before that, Paul says they were forbidden or kept from by the Spirit from entering into Asia. and so, yeah, that there is that sense, too, that God's going to lead me this way or that way, either into something or to stop me from something. And Galatians 5, I think, Pastor Steve, you talked about this a couple of weeks ago. But it says in chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the idea of walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, that mm-hmm. language is used often in terms of discerning and wisdom of choosing, making decisions about whether, you, like you said, big or small. And sometimes I've heard it said that being led by the Spirit should be a constant, not just a every once in a while or even a daily, but a constant reality for us. Mm-hmm. And what they mean by being led by the Spirit is sometimes even so extreme as, should I put on these color socks or those? Should I turn left or right at the stop sign? Mm-hmm. And we need to always be being led by the Spirit to make all kinds of decisions in life.
Yeah. Now I want to clarify one thing you said, Jason. Yeah. You said that language is used, you meant by people in the church, not by the Bible itself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That people use that language. Yeah. Christians use that language, being led by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit, to refer to making all kinds of decisions.
Yeah. So we were in Exodus 14, I think, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And we were talking about God was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Mm-hmm. And so then in my sermon, I then extended that to how God leads us today. And Nathan, I think you actually did the research and came up with the statistic that being led by the Spirit, it only occurs four times in the New Testament. Twice it is in reference to Jesus. The Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And the other two times occurred, one in Romans 8 and the other in, as you just read, Galatians 5. Both of those are within the context of putting to death the desires of the flesh and instead living our lives. And in Galatians, I think it says, in step with the Spirit.
Right.
And talks then goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
And which is a way of explaining, clarifying what he means by being led by the Spirit, of seeking to bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. And so the biblical warrant for for the usage of the language of being led by the Spirit is through the power of the Spirit to put to death the sins, the desires of our flesh, and, you know, not living for ourselves anymore, but rather living in such a way as to want to glorify Christ, living in such a way that we are exhibiting the obedience of the faith, that we are following. It says, you know, you read the verse where it says we're free from the law, meaning the Mosaic law, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians, but I follow the law of Christ. And so, you know, when we are freed from the law, when we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're not free like God is, we're free to become slaves of righteousness.
Right.
And so that's what it means to be, at least that I see in Scripture, to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah, it means we're actively following the ways.
Yeah, so are there any clear passages in Scripture, Old or New Testament, that would lead us to conclude that that it is good or normal, a normal thing for the people of God to say, you know, God led me to, I felt like God was leading me to take this job, or I felt like God was leading me to marry this person, or just, you know, the hundreds of ways that we might hear somebody speak like that. Are there any clear passages that would lead us to go, okay, this is a good and biblical way of thinking and speaking?
I think so, depending on what they mean. let me clarify. If somebody says that I believe that the Lord has led me to this place in my life, or I believe God has led me to read the Bible more often, or something to that effect, there's one side. If you're talking about God's providential leading, meaning in life, God has made eternal decrees. We talked about it last night in our family worship time. From the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question of what are the decrees of God. And the eternal decrees of God are according to his purpose for his glory, by which whatsoever comes to pass, he has ordained. And so in that sense, we're saying God has so ordered my steps. We read in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. There's a sense of God's sovereign providential hand working over my life to lead me to where I am today.
Yeah.
I think we can speak that way, that God has led me to this point and led me here. Like, I have what I have, and I am what I am, and by God's grace and his sovereign providential care, that kind of leading. However, if we, and I would also say, I think, Steve, I thought you did an excellent job a few weeks ago from Exodus 14. 13 and 14, talking about the Spirit leading us, God leading us by the Spirit through the Word. That is, if, can I say that God is leading me to be more humble, I think so. I think I can say God is leading me to be more repentant of my sin. God is leading me to evaluate my heart more, so I'm more loving and not so selfish. I think these are all ways that we can say God leads us by his Spirit through his word. Mm-hmm. However, there would also be ways where I would say, no, I don't think it's a legitimate normative. And I'm emphasizing that word normative because, as we have said from Acts 16, 6 and 10 and 13, 2, and other passages in the Old Testament especially, where the idea, if not the language, is used that God would do kind of some kind of supernatural external calling or leading. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I'm afraid that how people use that, and I've used it, I know I have, the language of God leading me is a very subjective, emotional, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. And no, I do not think that that's a legitimate normative way that we should be understanding the language of calling and being led.
Especially not divorced from Scripture.
Yes.
Because we know that Scripture is the revealed will of God. And so I think we can say unequivocally that God will never lead us in a direction that contradicts Scripture. But even in things like, you know, you mentioned a while ago, God led me to take this job or mm-hmm. led me to marry this girl. And I think that if we are marinating in the Scripture, if we are just daily taking in Scripture and studying it, meditating on it, and that, first of all, the Bible says that that's the kind of thing that gives us wisdom, mm-hmm. that we're going to make, the more that we make Scripture a part of us, that we are going to make decisions that are biblical and godly.
Right.
I think that what I fear, gentlemen, is that people are looking for some kind of subjective feeling or urging or something within their, I don't know, you can say their heart or their spirit.
Bowels would be the biblical word.
Yes.
Bowels, okay. But not considering Scripture at all. And
or merely assuming.
Yeah, scripture. And I think that we need to really be careful that when we begin to rely just on those things, or even primarily on those feelings, those emotions, we need to be careful because our hearts are deceptive. Our hearts are mm-hmm. still, we still have sin that clings to us, even those of us that are born again. And so we have to be careful because we can fool ourselves.
Well, and that's the part of the church as well, that Ephesians 4, Paul says that he's given those leaders of the church so that the church would build itself up in love. And in part, that is so for the giving of doctrine so that we're not blown and tossed by every wind and wave of doctrine. Mm-hmm. And when that can happen, when we are just going over chasing any and every, or even just some impulses, like you said, without actively, intentionally, consciously submitting it to God's word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, that's good. And there are, there are a lot of times where people will make decisions with maybe just just ignoring God's word because of what they feel so strongly that mm-hmm. they ignore it, or with just a kind of a cursory examination of it. I think where I've seen this most often, though, is in when someone's making a decision that they don't see Scripture speaking directly
to. Exactly, right.
And so having gone to Scripture, hopefully having prayed about it, then they make a decision, and I want to read this. This is from a book called Do You Feel Called by God? It's by a guy named Michael Bennett. He says, in the time I've been a Christian, there's been a dramatic rise in the culture of Christian men and women given to using the words the Lord has told me as a prefix to some statement. But when you inquire, how did the Lord speak to you? How did it happen? The reply nearly always comes back, I had this inner feeling or impression in my heart that this is what the Lord is saying. And then he goes on to quote another guy, Gary Friesen, in a book, Decision Making and the Will of God. He talks about impressions, and he says, impressions are impressions. In this word impressions, Friesen includes the still small voice, the inner voice, inward pressure, inward urging, feelings of peace, guiding impulse, inner impressions, and all other similar expressions. And he raises the question, how can I tell whether these impressions are from God or some other source? And his response is, this is a crucial question, for impressions could be produced by any number of sources. God, Satan, an angel, a demon, human emotions such as fear or ecstasy, hormonal imbalance, insomnia, medication, or an upset stomach. So, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that idea of impressions, and because I think that that's what a lot of people are often talking about when they say the Holy Spirit led me or the Lord. I felt that this is where the Lord was leading me. So, if that's the case, that they could impressions could be from the Lord, could be from an upset stomach. What kind of help can we give people in discerning?
Right. Well, I want to answer that question with a personal experience, and also wanted to throw out a hypothetical that we could comment on and maybe talk about, walk through that a little bit. My personal experience. So I don't want to give the impression, I don't think any of us do, that God never works that way. Mm-hmm. God is incapable of working through some kind of inner urging to do something. So, for example, my son was 21 years old, went to China on a six-week mission trip, wherein their job, there was a group of them from Southwest Baptist in Bolivar, that they were to hike into the mountains of inner China and drop off Christian material. They weren't trained in the language. They weren't able to share the gospel verbally, but they were to drop off this material, which was illegal. And it turned out that I prayed for him every day. I prayed because, you know, it was my 21-year-old son in China, and who knows what kind of things could happen to him. And so prayed and prayed and prayed day after day for my son. But one night, about 2 in the morning, I awoke with my heart pounding and just had the thought, I need to pray for Tim. So there, I believe, was the Holy Spirit urging me to get out of bed and go pray. Well, I don't think it's hard for me to think of any time that that would be not a biblical thing to do, right? You know, that corresponds with Scripture. So I went and prayed and went to pick him up from the airport. And how was your trip? He was great, except for the last trip we went on, we got arrested. We were going around a corner, and there was all these police waiting for us. And we turned around, and there were military behind us. And we were detained, and we were kept under lock and key for a night. And we were questioned really heavily. And finally, they let us go with warnings. And we traced it back. And when did that happen? It was happening exactly at the time when I awoke in the middle of the night to pray for my son. So I believe very strongly that God can and does use that in extraordinary circumstances, usually, at least in my life. That hasn't been normative. That's one event out of 64 years that I can remember that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I think God can do that, but I think the check for that is, you know, is what I feel God leading me to do. Is it scriptural? And then I think the second check is that God has given us the body of Christ. God has given us wise counselors in the church. So the hypothetical that I wanted to throw out is we have somebody, maybe a young person in our church, come and say, I'm really attracted to this person, this other person, and I'm praying about, and I feel God is leading me to marry that person. So I think that would be the kind of situation you're talking about. They read the Bible, Well, the Bible does speak about that in some in some general ways. Mm-hmm. For example, it says that a believer shouldn't be unequally yoked with a non-believer.
Right.
And so, you know, that would be the first question that I would ask. Mm-hmm. You know?
But nothing specific like you should marry this person.
No, it doesn't. But it doesn't say you should marry Tom. Mm-hmm. And so what else is there that I would say that we want to have some corroboration at least mm-hmm. for that feeling of being led? And Scripture is one place to go. But I think a second place to go, and this was one of the points I made in the sermon, was that God has given us the church. And I think that we should feel more, I would love to see, both within our local church, but within the church in general, people bringing these types of decisions before elders or deacons or just wise friends that are willing to speak scripturally into your life. And people maybe... You know, maybe you're a young person of 21 or 22 wanting to make this decision. Well, God has given you people in the church that are 40, 50, 60 years old, 70 years old, that have had so much more life experiences than you and have this accrued wisdom that they have gathered. And not just wisdom that they've gathered from maturing, but also from being followers of Christ that have been steeped in the Word of God.
Right.
And these people have things to say that they can speak into your life and give you wise counsel for that. And so at the very least, and I didn't even let you guys talk, but there's my hypothetical.
You're dispensing your wisdom.
I am. But at the very least, people, and I know we have people in our church that when they pray about things, they are looking for, sometimes people will say, I'm looking to come to peace about something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my counsel to those people is, you know, that's great that you're praying about those decisions, but I would urge you to make sure that those decisions are corroborated by Scripture,
mm-hmm.
but also corroborated by wise biblical friends, Christian
friends.
And
that's not to say that we need to add to Scripture or that the church or anybody in the church has equal authority to Scripture, but rather that the other people in the church, the other wise, godly believers, help us to interpret and apply Scripture to mm-hmm. us. Yeah, and I have three very quick quotes from one from J.I. Packer, and he says, "The true way to honor the Holy Spirit as our guide," which we believe the Holy Spirit does guide people.
That's right.
"The true way to honor the Holy Spirit as our guide is to honor the Holy Scriptures through which he guides us."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John Piper has said that God has ordained that the eye-opening work of his Spirit always be combined with the mind-informing work of his Word. Same idea. Mm-hmm. And then George Mueller said that we should seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions. This gets back to what, Nathan, you were saying, that what do we do if we have all these feelings? Or even because we do believe that some kind of internal urging can come from the Spirit of God or from the spirit of a really bad taco we ate or mm-hmm. the spirit of some evil spirit right. or whatever, we have to say, all right, let's not just look to that. But mm-hmm. Steve, for instance, if you would have woken up in the middle of the night and said, I just it's really, really strong urging to go get drunk.
Right.
You'd say,
my
heart's pounding. I just got to go do it. That's not from
have
the spirit of God.
Have you ever had a drink of alcohol in your life, by the way, Steve?
What?
Have you ever had a drink of alcohol in your life?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's your heart pounding?
No.
Moving on. Sinclair Ferguson has a book called Discovering the Will of God. He just says, here's seven questions to ask whenever you're thinking about any decision. And he has scriptures for each one of these questions. But he says, ask, is it lawful? Is it something that is against God's law? Number two, is it beneficial? Is it good for me and others? Number three, is it enslaving? Like, will this make me more submitted to Christ or less?
Mm-hmm.
Number four, is it consistent with the lordship of Christ, where I'm saying that Jesus is Lord or something else? Number five, is it beneficial to others? Or I guess the first one, is it beneficial to me in general? Fifth one is it beneficial to others? Number six, is it consistent with the example of Christ and the apostles? And number seven, is it for the glory of God? Am I really living for the glory of God in making this decision?
Mm-hmm.
And he says in his book, basically, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't need something more than that. We try to, your experience, Steve, of waking up in the middle of the night, heart pounding, just feeling like just I have to pray, feel a great urge to pray. I think it was something of the Spirit of God. But I don't think that is more of the Spirit than every other time the Spirit has led you through His Word and through the church. It's not more God when it comes through a ordinary way, means of His Word and the people of God.
Yeah, so I wasn't more led to pray for Tim that night than I had been the other 40 days that he was gone.
It was just a unique time in a unique way. Yeah. And I don't think we should be seeking those times as much as if God brings that, then fine. But that shouldn't be the normal way we're pursuing to be led by God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, somebody might say, well, what's the big deal with thinking or talking this way? If I'm seeking out scripture, I'm talking to other people. If I still have this strong impression that this is what I should do, and I feel that often, and I think this is the Holy Spirit, what's the big deal? Maybe I just am more spiritual than Steve because he's only had this experience once in his life, but I have it every 5 minutes. I think one of the dangers of that is that when it makes it really hard when you have felt something and you always associate this feeling with, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It makes it really hard to do the other things that we've talked about, going to Scripture, because you're going to go, well, what if my feeling contradicts Scripture? I've always considered this to be the voice of God. So what do I do if those things are in conflict? It makes it really difficult when you go to, if you do seek counsel from other Christians, if you go to them and say, I feel like this is what God is telling me. What do you think?
Unless they corroborate it, and you're going to say, I reject you.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless they go, well, I have a direct word from the Lord that says, no, you didn't hear from him.
Well, then that's another battle, because who's right and who's wrong.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's almost, it becomes like a trump card of, if you try to speak a word of correction to someone who has come to you and said, I feel like this is what the Lord, so it could be someone, to use your hypothetical situation, could be a young lady comes to you and said, I've prayed about this, and this guy, what did you call him?
Tom.
This guy, Tom, he's not a believer, but I love him, and he's just a great guy. He loves me, and I think the Lord's drawing him, and so I just think we should get married.
The Lord wants me to marry him so that I can witness to him. Right.
And I've prayed about it. I just feel like this is what God wants me to do. I feel led to this. What do you think? Well, if you say, I can take you to God's word and tell you that, no, he did not tell you that. But if she's already convinced herself that she heard from the Lord, it's really hard to reject that inner voice that you've convinced yourself Holy Spirit and receive maybe God's word.
It's not only about rejecting the Bible, because I think a lot of people will, what they'll do then, without realizing, it will shape and color how they interpret and apply it. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, no, I still believe that. I just think this is a unique situation. Mm-hmm. Or I think it means, and then you start interpreting it, twisting it just to fit the experience you've already had.
Mm-hmm.
That inner voice that you've already felt and heard, you're saying that must be the Spirit of God, because in part. And this, here's the other thing, is that I've never heard anybody, I'm not saying it's not possible, I've just never heard anybody who regularly speaks that way come and say, I believe that I just really feel like the Lord is calling me to do this or say this, and it's against what they actually want to do. Meaning that I think they're confusing oftentimes, and it can be a form of blasphemy even, attributing it to God when really it's just what they want to do.
Yeah.
But we don't want to say, I just really want to do this. We want to put something spiritual on it, because it feels spiritual and it feels better for us if we can say, yeah, I feel like God is leading me. And so instead of speaking that way, what if we were to say, I think this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it. Mm-hmm. It seems like a good opportunity for me to do it. Do you think that this is something I should do?
Right.
And then asking the Lord, is this something you want me to do? Would you speak through your word and through your people? And not just an emotional sense about it.
And I think another danger, you said, what are some of the dangers? And this is probably getting over into another podcast that we'll want to do sometime, but I think a danger is that you begin to be led by your emotions. Mm-hmm. You begin to trust your emotions above the Word of God, above wisdom from wise biblical Christian counselors. And you begin to be ruled mm-hmm. by your emotions rather than bringing your emotions under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I think where that gets very difficult for Christians is when they are reading the Bible, praying, and they have experienced certain emotions, and that may happen regularly because it's so closely associated with trying to hear from God through prayer, mm-hmm. through reading His Word, that those emotions can easily become associated with the voice of God.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.